Jim Shulton, this is From Theory to Practice, man. We made it. Welcome back to the show. It feels so good to be back. We were off there for about 8 days as we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, technically South Carolina, but basically in the Charlotte area there to visit my sister-in-law and hang out with them up there in the Carolinas. But we are back, and man, I miss y'all. I miss y'all so much. It didn't feel right to not be doing the show during the day and to talk about, you know, Uncle Jay on Wednesday of last week, the most important Fed announcement of our lifetimes. Somehow we made it. Somehow here we are, and somehow here you are. So thank you guys so much for being a part of what we're doing. It feels really good to be back, and I thank you all for coming back to the show, and you didn't completely forget about me for the last 8 or 9 days. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. If you are watching over on the Tasty Live Network, then I would actually pop on over to YouTube. I would pop on over to YouTube. I would join the discussion there live in the chat. You can ask me questions. You can communicate with your brethren that are also watching the show. It is a good time had by most. But we have a lot to get to today in the portfolio. We're going all the way to 3:15 Eastern, 2:15 Central. So grab your BCAs and grab your electrolytes because here we go. So let's pop in. Let's have a look, man. Look at the portfolio. The portfolio is looking really, really paltry these days. There's just nothing going on. We've got SAVE, SMH, UNG, and man, how about Viking Therapeutics, guys? Take a look at this guy. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of minutes because we have a lot to say about Viking Therapeutics. But all right, what I want to do first, though, let's talk about some market commentary. So if you take a look at the overall market indexes, you've got E-mini S&Ps down 50 cents. You've got the risk-free asset, also known as the NASDAQ Futures Index, which is still pretty much the risk-free asset for all intents and purposes out there, down 48 today. So not really risk-free in out there. You got the boomers up 6. They finally did it. They broke the 40K barrier. Take a look at that. You've got the Dow Jones Futures Index now trading over 40,000. Then you've got the Russell 2000 futures up about 7 or 8 points. And so kind of a mixed market. It's been fairly slow, honestly, for the end of the month and the end of the week and the end of the first quarter of 2024. Because, of course, tomorrow we have the Good Friday holiday, so the markets will be closed. This is the last official day of the first quarter. And it hasn't been that crazy. I mean, I don't know what the volume metrics might look like. I don't know what my volume bros out there might be doing in the marketplace in terms of high volume, low volume, looking at volume profiles and all those kinds of things. But there hasn't been a ton of movement in the market from a price standpoint. It was a little bit weak and then a little bit strong. And now here we are with it really not doing too much of anything. If we look at volatility, you've got volatility futures up 15 cents. And then you've got the VIX, which is, hold on a second. Where are my drawing tools? There we go. Let's delete those. We'll go down to the VIX, which is your spot volatility. That's going to be, where am I? I'm rusty. I'm super rusty. So I lost my drawing tools. They're back. 22 cents. So spot volatility up 22 cents. So volatility overall is up just a couple of shekels. So not really too much. So looking at the portfolio, because we cleaned up a lot of things. Like if you go back to the, if I go into the activity tab and we take a look at, you know, the different things that we've done, you can see that, you know, on March 18th, we only did one thing on March 18th. Man, it felt like we did a lot more than that. You know, we did a lot on March 14th, I guess. So a few days prior to March 18th, you know, we cleaned up IWM, we cleaned up MGM, we cleaned up UPS, we cleaned up, you know, NVIDIA. I know technically it's NVIDIA, but I'm going to take this one to the grave. It is NVIDIA in my world. We cleaned that guy up and then EWW on March 18th. And so we tried to take a lot of risk off the table going into, you know, going into being on vacation, going into knowing that I was going to be out of commission there for a little bit. And so we don't have too much in the portfolio right now, but still let's take a look at the few positions that we do have on. We'll talk about these guys, and then I want to add a couple of new trades to the portfolio here today to kind of get things kind of moving forward again, and then we'll get to y'all's questions for the remainder of the show. And don't forget, we are live until 3:15 Eastern, 2:15 Central today, so come hang with me. Share the show with your friends. Share the show with your enemies. share the show with your family members and bring some people aboard. So SAVE, this is our Spirit Airlines Davey Day Trader, Dave Portnoy play that has been costing us money basically since the moment that we put it on. And so it might be time to just cut ties with this trade and just turn over a new leaf, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's no buying power here. If I go to close the trade, you're going to see, I mean, the buying power effect is, you know, it's almost like it's not even there. But so it's like, should I keep it on? Should I take it off? You know, the reason why I did this trade was simply because of the exaggerated move from the failed JetBlue Airlines merger. Like maybe it finally succeeded. Maybe it is, you know, continuing to be in a state of failure. I'm actually not sure. I just know that it was a big thing in the news not too long ago. And so I wanted to jump on the wagon. I wanted to be part of the Dave Portnoy experience where you just hemorrhage cash left and right and just watch your account dwindle closer and closer to zero. And so I've definitely felt that. I definitely enjoyed that experience. So I think now it's probably run its course, and I think it's time to go ahead and just be done with this. So we're going to close out of our Spirit Airlines position. If for no other reason than, you know, being on vacation for 8 days, having a chance to kind of revisit the important things in life, I was like, I don't think Spirit Airlines has a home in the portfolio anymore. I don't think that it needs to be a part of what we are trying to do on the From Theory to Practice experiment. And so let's go ahead and let's close this guy down. It's funny too, because all right, so we're filled for 488. So, you know, we took a bath in it there on the Spirit Airlines, you know, trade. So if I bring up the chains here really quick, just to show you guys who maybe you're following along, you are curious what happened to us in this position. If I go back 180 days, oh, you know what? They don't show stock in the chains. Yeah, we have to go to the activity page for that. It's a little weird, but nevertheless, we push on. So we bought the shares for $702. Right, this was our first trade back on January 19th. So it's only a couple months ago. It feels like we've held the position for much longer than that. We then sold a little bit of premium, which we probably should have been doing this all along because it would have been a bit more strategic. And from a P&L standpoint, I think it would have been more effective for us. We picked up 38 cents on the premium that we sold there as part of the covered call. And then just now, you know, the ink isn't even dry yet on the confirmation slip. We got out of our position at 488. So we lost about $2 on the trade, a little under $2 on the trade. And so that was, you know, the Spirit Airlines Davey Day Trader experience experiment was not super successful. And so we're done with that trade. We now move on. So if we look at SMH, I'll save Viking Therapeutics for the end because that is going to be our one lone singular victory lap here today. So we're obviously going to milk that guy at the very end. But if we look at SMH, so this was a short call spread that we put on back on February 29th. So a little leap year day trade for you guys. And so February 29th, it is now March 28th. So we've had this trade on for almost exactly a month. And it hasn't worked that well. It also hasn't been that necessarily bad. I mean, it's kind of just hanging out right there, you know, just slightly in the money. It's not in the money by a ton. It's only in the money by a little bit. And so, you know, that's, you know, it could be a lot worse. I mean, the stock could obviously be at, you know, 240, 250, 260, whatever. So right now it's like, okay, we only need it down just a tiny, tiny, wee little bit. And we'll be in really, really good shape. And so right now with SMH at 225, we've got 22 days to go tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, is Good Friday. And so we will not be there's no market activity. So there's no programming tomorrow. You know, we all have the day off to enjoy the Easter weekend. And I would normally look to roll this tomorrow. But since there is no tomorrow in the world of the markets, I'm going to look to try to roll this today. But I don't really think we're going to be able to, do it because I think we're a little bit too far in the money to be able to roll this guy forward for a credit. So let me go ahead and give it a shot though. If I left click and I roll, I go out to May. Yeah, it looks like, so right now it's a 33 cent debit on the mid price. Now, if you look down at the markets down there, you can see it's a fairly wide market. You've got a 5 cent debit out to a 60 cent debit. And the mid price is, you know, essentially the point of equilibrium between those two end markers of about 30 cents. And so maybe we could get filled for something slightly better, like a 20 cent or 25 cent debit, but we're not getting filled for a credit. So we're not going to be able to fill this guy and roll this guy for a credit. So what does that mean? That means we do what we do best, just absolutely nothing. That means we do our favorite and oftentimes most effective strategic maneuver, which is doing nothing at all. We are going to stew in the bathtub of filth, and we are just going to sit on this SMH position and then revisit this guy after Easter weekend, and we'll just kind of see where we're at there. So again, the good news is it's not that far in the money. We only need a slight little down day in SMH and or the market writ large, and this guy will be in a really good spot. So not too concerned about SMH. That's going to be perfectly fine. UNG, you know, this is at, wow, $14? Man, look at this. What have y'all been doing to natural gas while I was gone, while I was away? So, wow, this thing was at, with the reverse split, I'm still kind of thrown off, but wow, look at this. This is crazy. I mean, I'm just looking at the last couple of weeks here. I mean, if you go back to like March 6th, you had this guy up in the 17s. Now we're down to the 14s. And so this is not good, man. Our natural gas, our natty light ice position is just not looking that well. It's just not looking that good. And I don't have it in me to close both Spirit Airlines and Natty Light Ice on the same day. Like, I certainly can't do that. Because, I mean, that's typically what people drink before they would go on a Spirit Airlines flight. And so I don't have it in me to get rid of both of these guys. Then our whole portfolio, it will have no meaning. It will have no character if both of those guys are gone. So I'm going to hang in this trade a bit longer. Again, because, I mean, 100 shares, it's like the buying power on this is essentially nothing, right? The buying power on this is really quite minuscule. And so we can hold this trade and be a bit more directional, you know, on this position moving forward. But I don't know. I mean, we're turning over new leaves. You guys might even see some crab trades here pretty soon. You guys might even see me get into a little Delta Buster. In fact, next week, don't miss Monday's show, because you might see me do a futures options position. And so we got some new things coming on down the chute. So I don't know. Maybe it's time to cut ties with Natty Light Ice and kind of move on to like, you know, duels, maybe a Heineken. Right. Nah, maybe like a, you know, a Milwaukee's Best. I think that would probably be the next natural step after Natty Light Ice. But nevertheless, I'm going to leave it on right now, and we'll think on that over the weekend, and I'll come back and revisit that on Monday. But if we look at Viking Therapeutics, so we're at 22 days to go. So normally you would, you know, you'd be looking to roll, you'd be looking to adjust, you'd be looking to kind of make some moves down this position since you're getting right up against that 21-day marker. And so that would be the case here, again, because tomorrow we're closed because of Good Friday, as I have now said for the 7th time on the show. And we still have over an hour left, so we're probably looking at the expected move of at least 6 to 8 more times. I will remind you of that. But if you take a look at this, you can see that, you know, 65 to 85, these are the strikes on this. So I'm 65-105 on my strikes, and I've got Viking Therapeutics at 82. And so this is in a really good spot when it comes to, you know, where I want the stock to be. And let's see, hold on, my YouTube stream just froze. Oh, I'm back. Okay, beautiful. All right, so my YouTube stream is back. So I think we just kind of, we just figured that out on the fly. But nevertheless, so I'm looking at Viking Therapeutics at 65-105. And I've got the stock at 82. Those are my strikes on the trade. And so with the, you know, with the stock at 82 and my strikes at 65-105, I'm in a pretty good spot with where I want the stock to be. So this is in a great spot. And again, we've kind of had to, you know, we've had to stew in it a little bit here. I mean, Viking Therapeutics kind of fell, you know, off the table there for a minute, and we had to kind of adjust and, you know, sell some calls and neutralize some delta and do some things like that. But now we're in a great spot. And if we bring up the chains here, you can see that we are actually up like $6 on this trade. And so we're up $6.50 on this trade. So that's just an incredible turnaround for us on this position. So I will absolutely, unequivocally take it. I'm feeling really good about it. There's no reason to hold on to this position any longer. You know, even I'm not going to hold on to this position any longer. So that tells you a lot about where we're at here on the trade. And so, so we finally got the move that we wanted. I guess Viking Therapeutics had some really good news just yesterday. If I bring up the, bring up the chart here of Viking Therapeutics. Oh, it was a couple days ago. Interesting. Wow. So this happened. Wait, no, that's not right. Yeah, no, it was right here. I looked at the big gap right here and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not right. I was like, that looks way too long ago. Like, I know I was out, but was I out for that long? Sometimes it feels like I was. as I knock the rust off of, you know, what it is that we're trying to do here on the program today for the Thursday edition of From Theory to Practice. But no, it's going to be this gap up right here. So this was a couple days ago while I was on vacation, March 25th to March 26th. You can see, you know, a nice little, you know, you had Viking Therapeutics close at 69 on the 25th and then open at 77 on the 26th and then hit a high of 89 that day. And it has now settled down to about 81 or 82. So that's a really good spot. That's a really, really good spot for us. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to close this trade. And so let's go in here and let's see if, yeah, let's see if we can go ahead and close out of this trade. And let's see here. Hey, John, it does look like the YouTube stream keeps it keeps buffering for me. And so I've got a few questions that have come in that I can address, but the YouTube stream does appear to be buffering. I keep trying to refresh, and it appears to be just kind of sticking at the same spot. So I don't know if you guys could look into that, but if we can't bring it back up, that's fine. I've got plenty of other things that that we can do here on the show. So Viking Therapeutics, let's go ahead and let's close this guy down. And let's see what we're looking at here. So you've got, you know, you've got the mid price at 237 on the closing trade right here. And let's see here. Okay, so they're checking the, okay, beautiful. So they're checking on the YouTube stream. That's amazing. Thank you guys. I appreciate that very much. Just let me know if it comes back up. So let's see here. If we close this guy down, again, you've got fairly wide markets down here. It's not, you know, it's not super, super wide. I mean, I've certainly seen wider. I mean, if you get into like an MSTR type of situation, it can be quite wider. Yeah, sure, that's fine. And so if you look at this, it's not the narrowest I've ever seen, let's just say that, but it's also not the worst. It's also not, you know, we're not talking about Elaine Bennis and her wide lanes driving on the highway. I mean, this is pretty okay. So let's go ahead and let's close this guy down real quick. This is going to free up a ton of buying power too, which is kind of nice. So let's just see if we can get this guy filled. So let's go ahead and let's go to 240, maybe 241. Boom, there you go. Filled for 241. So that's a beautiful thing right there. And so, all right, so 241, we are filled on Viking Therapeutics. So now looking at the portfolio, I mean, it is quite paltry. So, I mean, this thing is, this thing is just not looking good. So I think the guys are telling me that YouTube might be back up and running. So let's try a quick refresh on YouTube and see if we got it, if it's good to go. And so, nice. It looks like it is sticking. That's good. Okay. Excellent. Thank you guys so much. That's amazing. Thank you guys. All right. So if we lost some of you guys, hopefully you'll come back. And if you are back, definitely drop your questions in the chat. I'll try to get to as many as I can here in a few minutes. But I do want to try to get to, thank you guys in production for getting that back up. I do want to get to as many new trades as I possibly can here on the show because, again, we don't have that many positions on the portfolio, only two. And we are going until 3:15, so we have almost an hour left of the program. So I was like, man, I've got I've got three trades I want to do. And then I actually do have an MNQ strangle that I want to get working, but I think we're going to save that for Monday just to build up a little bit of drama here for the show. So let's go ahead and let's get into SPY. So if you look at this, you can see, if you look at the portfolio, you can see we have no market exposure whatsoever, no market index exposure whatsoever. So I thought, man, if we're going to start this off, like, let's start it off right with some market index exposure and, you know, let's get a little deltas working at the overall market level. So SPY, the S&P 500 index ETF. Let's go in here and let's get a little something working in the May cycle. I'm going to be trading the May cycle with 50 days to go. Wow, that's pretty wild. May cycle. We're trading May of 2024. That's not May of 2022. It's not May of 2021. That's May of 2024, people. Like, we have made it all the way to 2024. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. So I think what we're going to do is I want to do a diagonal spread in SPY using the May cycle for my long option and then, of course, April cycle for my short option. So let's go ahead. Let's do a 527. We're going to buy a 527. Again, these are not my trades. These are my intern's trades. These are my assistant's trades for the show. These are Amelia May's trades. She is our intern. She is my assistant for the show. She is also my four-year-old daughter, my newly minted four-year-old daughter. She turned four on March 9th, so it hasn't been too long. But let's see. If we buy – oh, really quick funny story since we have so much time. So March 9th, right, was my daughter's birthday. I maybe already shared this story on the network, but I don't care. So March 9th, my daughter – it's her birthday. It was a Saturday morning or whatever. And so she wakes up in the morning. And she's like very excited about it being her birthday. But then she walks out of her bedroom and she's kind of like sad. She has like this really sad look on her face. And I said, Amelia, why are you sad? I said, today's your birthday. You should be excited. Like, this is going to be an amazing day. We have so many fun things planned. She said, Daddy, I'm really sad because today's my birthday and now I'm four, but I'm not any bigger. Like, I look the same. And so she was very distraught because she thought she was just going to shoot up. Like, she's an adult now. Like, she's going to be, like, on the same height as me, same height as, you know, my wife and, you know, whatever. And so it was very funny. We had a good laugh over that because she was just so, like, forlorn over her lack of, growth spurt in a 12-hour span. So anyway, she's 4 years old. She does all my trades for the show. So if you have any issues with that, you can take it up with her. But we buy the 527. In the May cycle with 50 days to go. And then we go into April. And she wants to sell a 519. And I said, okay. I mean, it looks, I don't know. $8 wide. I mean, you're kind of getting a little wide there with the diagonals. But, you know, it's a $5.80 trade. So position sizing, you know, this is about... You know, this is less than 2% of the account, you know, working with about 30,000. This is, definitely from a sizing standpoint, it fits the bill. And the other nice thing about this is, and this is the beautiful thing about diagonal strategies, diagonal spreads, is they're really well suited for low volatility, which you see right here. You have an IVR of 8. Diagonal spreads are really nice for low volatility, especially diagonal spreads to the downside, because remember, if the market drops, again, just a theoretical construct, this market doesn't go down, although right now the risk-free asset is struggling a bit. But if the market were to go down, at least hypothetically speaking, then volatility could expand or should expand into that market sell-off. And I say could expand or should expand because we typically do observe an inverse relationship between market prices and market volatility. So if market prices are going down, market volatility is probably going up. And you can kind of see that today with a little bit of, you know, the market struggles and, volatility catching a tiny little bit of a bid. Although right now ES is, you know, basically unchanged on the day. So if we set up our diagonal spread to the downside using put options, just as we have on the screen here, we have the benefit of A, if I get price right where the market does go down, which is what I want here, I want this spread to go fully in the money. I want SPY to drop down below 519 if possible. What's also likely going to be happening is volatility in the marketplace is going to be expanding. And so if volatility in the marketplace is going to be expanding, that can potentially help a diagonal spread strategy because take a look at if I actually change one of these drop downs. So you can see that, you know, my delta, I have delta and implied volatility as my two metrics that I'm studying right now. If I change, I'm not studying these necessarily, but the two metrics that I'm observing, that might be a bit more accurate. If I take implied volatility and I change that to Vega. So what Vega is going to do is Vega is going to show me how sensitive these options are to changing volatility, right? And so I already know that if the market goes down, that's going to help me. Like the delta effect is going to be very strong. The delta effect is going to be very impactful. And I'm going to have a positive result in my P&L if the market goes down. But if we look and maybe even study the Vega effect a bit more closely, this is also quite interesting because you see the 519 strike has a Vega of 48. This is the strike that I'm selling. So I'm essentially, let me go ahead and circle this guy. In fact, I'll even circle it with a different color just so you guys know what I'm talking about. So if you take a look at this Vega right here at 48, that's going to be a Vega that I am essentially selling. I'm going to be short that Vega because I'm short that option. And short options have short Vega. That's always going to be the case. And so I'm short that Vega of the front month 519 put strike. Okay, let me delete all of that. Remember, that's 48. Now let's go up to the May cycle, go back to the May cycle, take a look at this Vega, the 527, the Vega that I'm buying So I'm going to be long that vega because long options have long vega. So it's a pretty simple relationship to remember. If I buy options, I'm long vega. If I sell options, I'm short vega. You know, if I buy options, I'm long vega. I want volatility to go up. That's going to be a positive result for me because, you know, the increased volatility will cause the option price to move higher. That's what I want when I buy options. If I sell options, I'm short vega. So, you know, any changes in volatility are going to potentially hurt me. Any increases in volatility are going to potentially hurt me, I should say, to be a bit more accurate. And so if you take a look at this, I'm buying 76 vega. I'm selling 48 vega. So the net result is a positive, what is that, 28 vega? I mean, I'm no Jacob Perlman, especially 8 days after a vacation, but I think that's around 28 to 30 vega on the plus side. So what that's telling me is this net position is going to be long volatility. So think about how all of this is setting up and how all of this is meshing together. If the market does go down and we get a volatility expansion into that sell-off, then I could get paid very, very quickly on this position. And so that would obviously be terrific for me, and that would be a very, very welcomed result on this trade. The other thing, though, is don't forget, and this is, you know, arguably even better when it comes, or even more advantageous when it comes to diagonal spreads, we are going to have multiple opportunities to sell premium against that May long back month option. Like this May, you know, 527 put that I'm going to buy here. I've got the April that I'm selling against it. I'm just going to see how that shakes out. I'm not going to try to tinker. I'm not going to try to, you know, zig and zag between raindrops. Let me just see if we get a little market sell-off, you know, going into, you know, today's close or, you know, early next week or whatever. And we take the trade off for 50% of max profit. That'd be great. It'd be great. It'd be amazing. We just move on and then that's that. But if it doesn't work, and the market goes higher, then I'm going to have a chance to potentially, you know, sell even more premium against that back month when that April month expires, if not sooner. Like if the April month extrinsic value dries up to, you know, essentially nothing before April expiration, then I can close it out and I can put on new premium against it. And so I can essentially whittle down, you know, this $5.80 that you see right here. It's not going to end up being $5.80. It will be some number lower than that. And by it, I mean what I'm paying for this strategy, which is also a very, very good measure, a good approximation of my maximum loss on the trade. And so right now, you know, I'm paying 580. It can look like my maximum loss is 580. And if I didn't do anything else, it would be 580. But if the market just, you know, screams higher and April expires for, you know, nothing, and I get all of that premium from April, then, you know, come time April expiration, I'm still going to have that long put in the May cycle that you guys see on the screen right here. I'm not just going to leave that guy dangling out there. I'm not just going to leave, you know, naked long premium out there to decay with nothing coming in against it. I'm going to sell something against it. And depending on where the market is, will largely determine what that something might be. But it will be something. It will be something with some credit collected, you know, on that adjustment at that time. And so I'm not going to end up losing 580 on this trade, even if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work from day one and the market scorches higher, it's not going to make a difference. I mean, it is going to make a difference from a P&L standpoint, but it's not going to make a difference from my opportunities to reduce basis standpoint. There's going to be at least one additional chance to do that, and I will be taking advantage of that. So let me go ahead and let's clear away these circles. Let me put this guy on because I want to get at least one more train on. That took me a long time, actually. So we're back into mid-season form, as I believe today is opening day. Is it not? I believe our Boston Red Sox are in Seattle tonight. It's either tonight or tomorrow night, but I think it might even be tonight. So let's go ahead and let's just do 585 just to be done with it. All right, so fill for 584. All right, so we got the SPY diagonal on. So that's good to go. The other trade I want to get on today, just a quick little shout out to my boomers, man. DIA, man, y'all are doing it. 40,000 on the Dow Jones Futures Index. That's crazy. That's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. If we go into DIA, the other trade I want to do, I have another one on my list too, but I want to make sure I get to y'all because I see lots of questions are coming in through the chat. So I appreciate you guys. You guys came back, and that's amazing. And so if you have a question for me, definitely drop them into the chat box, and I'll try to get to as many as I can. But just going into the boomers, nothing crazy, like nothing, you know, nothing brand new. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. We're not going to split the atom here today on the program. We're going to do something very straightforward, very plain vanilla, very Betty Crocker. I'm thinking, man, let's just sell an at-the-money call spread. I mean, does it get more boring, I mean, exciting than that? Does it get more innovative than that? I don't think so. I mean, I'm selling a 400, 405 call spread with a DIA at 397. And so we're just, just taking the contrarian stance, right? Just following, the Tom Sosnoff, road to victory, which usually leads to a tremendous amount of pain and strife. But we're going to do it and just kind of see how it goes, because I can't buy the Dow here. I can't buy them high and sell them higher. That doesn't really make any sense, other than the fact that it's made all the sense in the world for the last 15 months. I'm thinking we just sell a 400, 405 call spread. The Dow Jones index is at 397. The thing I like about this the most is, irrespective of my feelings or my prognostication or my directional bias or any of those things, just take a look at the actual metrics themselves. I'm collecting 240 on a $5 wide spread, which means I'm almost getting half of the spread. So normally, when we have a, collect half the spread, risk half the spread type of situation, that's usually going to be about a 50-50 proposition. Like, that's usually going to be essentially a coin flip. But if you look over at the probabilities here, some might say that's still a coin flip. I mean, it's 57%. When I think of a coin flip, I think of 50-50, 52-48, 54-46, whatever. 57% is like, man, now you're getting a little bit, outside of the coin flip territory, in my opinion. Now, we aren't quite collecting 50% of the width. We are only getting $2.40. So maybe all this is connected mathematically. Like, maybe there's quantitative reasoning that's explaining, the phenomena that we are observing here on the show. Possibly. It's very possible. But looking at the pop at 57, looking at the P50 at 60, you got a little bit of positive theta, like nothing crazy. Like, then we're not going to be retiring early because of the decay on this position, but it's a little something. It's a little something to help, keep the wheels greased. And I like it. I like it as, just a little bit more, downside index exposure. It's like, hey, man, we've been bearish since December 2022. One of these days it has to work, right? One of these days it has to be right. So that day might be today, my friends. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to sell this call spread 400, 405. And then I'm going to get some questions and we'll see how the questions go. And maybe I'll get the other trade on. But if I don't, I kind of wanted to make sure that we got into the questions at least, because we're at about halfway through the show now, which is kind of amazing. This has gone by incredibly fast. And I was griping to my wife earlier. I was like, man, I haven't been on air for like 8 days. I was with Errol yesterday, but Errol makes it so easy. I mean, on air by myself. I'm like, man, it's been like 8, 9 days. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I'm rusty, right? It's going to be super clunky. It's going to be all those things. And she's like, oh, I have a sneaking suspicion you're going to figure it out pretty quickly. It's not going to make a lot of sense. And there's going to be a lot of tangents and useless information in there, but you're going to figure it out. And here we are, right? Halfway through the show. And we're feeling good. Mid-season form has arrived. So let me go ahead and clear away these drawings as I talk about a tangent, about going off on tangents. Let's go ahead and send this order. And we'll see what happens. All right, so no takers at 240. Let's see if we can get a taker at 237, maybe. Yeah, we'll probably get somebody out there. There's some boomer out there that'll take it. There you go, 237. So fill that 237 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average Index ETF short call spread DIA 400, 405, and we're in the May cycle with 50 days to go. So, okay, so I want to do another trade, but again, I want to get to y'all, man. I miss y'all. I miss y'all so much. And I see a lot of people are in the house. I see Wanda Ra. I see Anka. I see David. I see Wayne. I see Harold. I see so many people. So let me get through at least some of the questions and we'll just kind of see how it goes. And maybe I'll get the other trade, the other trade on that red background. Man, that thing is aggressive. And so I may be changing that next week, but nevertheless, here we are. So Paul's in the house. What's going on there, Paul? Man, I appreciate you guys so much. I appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for being here. You are a staple of the show, but you already knew that because I tell you that every day. And so I just appreciate you so much, my friend. Thank you for being here. And thank you for waiting me out on my fairly lengthy vacation the last 8 days. So I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being here there, Paul. Harold's in the house. Let's go. Finally, Dr. J has returned. Harold, what's going on? I appreciate you for being here. 2 hours away from the Yankee season opener, the most important team in U.S. history. Well, I know it's not the Red Sox because we haven't done a single thing all offseason. But yes, so today must be opening day. And I thought it was today. I don't know who do the Yankees have for opening day. I would like to know. Are they opening up in New York? Because I know Boston is in Seattle. And so we'll have to, you know, kind of see how that shakes out tonight. But I have very, very low expectations for my Red Sox squad this year. I'm going to say, you guys can quote me on this, I have very low expectations. So I would say the Red Sox win total this year, man, I don't feel great about it. I'm going to say 97. And I don't feel too good about it. Maybe 98. Right, 97, 98. There's my win total. I know it's not that great, but that's what I'm gonna say. 97 or 98 wins for the Red Sox. And so Weekend Warrior is in the house. He says, I've got my electrolytes. There you go. Pacifico with a line. There you go. I like it. I'm not sure what Pacifico is, but I like it. I like it a whole lot. So Weekend Warrior, thank you for being here, my friend. I appreciate you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Wayne says, hey, Dr. J, welcome back. Happy Easter, my brother. Happy Easter to you, my friend. And thank you for being a part of what we're doing. And Wayne, I think you've maybe been a part of what I've been trying to do here on the Tasty Network since the beginning. Like, I mean, we may go all the way back to 2016. Like, you might be an OG because I just remember communicating with you for so long. So I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. So Alan V's in the house. Hey, Dr. Jim, can you see vol really increase over 30 on the VIX? I am seeing orders in the 180 VIX. Which reminds me, another thing that's on my list, it is actually literally on my list, is VVIX. That's another thing when I know we need to look at here pretty soon. And so let's see. Alan goes on to say, I'm seeing orders in the 180 VIX. Crazy odds, seems to be like playing Powerball, but someone thinks it's possible. You know, I'm not an order flow guy. You know, I've just never really, which is interesting because like going all the way back to like my doctoral work at the University of Memphis, like our specialty, it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to study per se. I really didn't know what I wanted to study when I got to Memphis. But Memphis, the specialty, working under, you know, Dr. Wood, Dr. McKinnis, Dr. Zhang, I mean, they all specialized in market microstructure, which was, you know, studying the tick-by-tick movements of the market. And so that quickly became my specialty too, because I mean, that's kind of how it works when you get into, you know, a PhD program and you get into fields of research and things like that. So, you know, I was looking at order flow. I was looking at all the trades and the quotes coming in through the databases and, you know, writing programs to process the data and try to make some sense of what was going on and all those kinds of things. But I mean, people like looking at order flow today to try to somehow figure out what's going to happen next, maybe it can be done. I don't know. I have my doubts, of course. But I'm not really an order flow guy. And so like when I see, I mean, people putting in orders for the VIX at 180, that's crazy. Like that's crazy. Like that would be, I mean, that's very unlikely. That's like the Red Sox winning less than 90 games. It's very unlikely. It's extremely unlikely. Again, I don't feel that good. I put it at 97, right? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's just not going to be a great seed. I mean, it's probably going to be number one seed. You know, we're looking at most likely a World Series appearance, but I have very low expectations this year. And so, you know, buying 180 VIX calls or whatever, like that's crazy. Like that's absolutely crazy. Can I see the VIX back over 30? I absolutely can. And I think it's going to happen. You know, before the beginning of the year, I had a fun little show at the end of last year. And I said, I think the VIX might touch 50 this year just to kind of rustle some jimmies out there and kind of wake some people up. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. Nobody knows. But it'd be kind of interesting if it did happen. I do think that VIX over 30 is almost a slam dunk, like almost a slam dunk. And so that basically guarantees that we're not going to see the VIX over 15. Like 15 is going to be your absolute top for the year. And so you can essentially book that. And so yes, Alan V, it's crazy, but somebody out there thinks it's possible. But yes, but the trick to all that is, who is that somebody? Like, is this somebody that I should be listening to? Like, is this somebody that I should be paying attention to? Like, that's where the rub is, in my opinion. Harold, I actually missed Harold. This market is so slow. I agree. David Ortiz's jog to first base seems faster. Ah, nice. That's a nice pull there, my friend. I agree. Relative to the market today, on an end of quarter, I mean, we'll see what happens in the next hour 20, but I mean, the market's maybe picking up a little bit here. You've got risk-free down 40. You've got ES now slightly red. You've got the boomer slightly red. You've got the Russell heading back down to unched. You know, volatility is basically unchanged. I mean, unchanged from where it was when the show started. So I don't know. I don't really see a ton happening either way. But yes, it is a bit slower than a David Ortiz jog to first base, which there have been many, 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 many jogs to first base, as we both know, many of which actually hurt you in a big, big way. And so Harold says, since you're back, Dr. J, new all-time highs. Yes, apparently so. New all-time highs. And so it's essentially the exact same as how I left it. And so that's good to know. So let's see. D-Man of Gold. don't fly Spirit for your vacay. No, I didn't. We drove, man. We drove it with the kids. Like, we rented a Chrysler Pacifica van. So I rented a Pacifica for one of the last vacations we did, and it was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. Like, there's so much room. It's so spacious. Like, getting the kids in and out is easy. There's room for all of our stuff. I'm like, this thing is absolutely amazing. So we did the same thing for the drive up to Charlotte, because Autumn has a Pathfinder, which it gets the job done, but it's not, like, you're not, like, super spacious. Like, it's pretty tight. And then I have a Honda Civic, so it's like, yeah, we're not taking that, obviously. So we rented the Chrysler Pacifica, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But as you can imagine, I mean, you know, a nine hour map time from where we live to my sister-in-law's house. So it took us 11:15 to get there. And I chalked that up as incredible time. I was like, wow, we made incredible time. Like, we were tight. Like, we were just like, you know, we were really efficient at these stops. The way back was like 12:15 or 12:30 in terms of 12 and a half hours. But we're not really in a rush to get back. And so it was good. It was good, though. We did not fly. And if I had flown, I would not be taking Spirit. That's for sure. So Gapper Access 5270 incoming. Man, we'll have to wait and see. It does not appear to be happening today. Even the S&P is now down 275. And so, I don't know, maybe it's picking up a little something. It's kind of, you know, it has a little bit of a snowball effect. You know, like, we, you know, I'm going to be answering comments and responding to you all. The next thing I know, I'm going to look down, ES can be down 6. It's like, man, that's some crash-worthy stuff. And so it can happen quick. And so, Rezo, what's going on there, Rezo? Again, thank you for coming to the show in Houston. I appreciate you, my friend. It was great to meet you in person. It says, Dr. Jim, you are natty gas until August. I am praying for a heat wave. Okay, so natty gas is we're looking for a heat wave is what we're looking for. I thought we were looking for a cold snap. Like, I thought we wanted the natural gas, you know, when people got really cold. And I heard it was in the 20s in Chicago recently, which that's about right for end of March. I mean, I remember. Like, you think spring is coming? No. Like, you think spring is here? Wrong again. Mid-20s until late April, early May. And y'all just know it's true. You fight it. And I used to fight it. It's like, I see the calendar. It's March 1st. It's soon. It's not soon. It's still at least 2.5 months away. And so I'm really hoping that, you know, the cold snaps in Chicago alone can actually rescue our UNG position. But we will see. We will absolutely see. So Wanderer's in the house. What's going on there, Wanderer? Wanderer says, for a second there, that looked like a hammer and sickle behind old mate Jim. But that made no sense and broke my brain. Oh, the cherry behind me. Yeah, again, I'm not taking the red background. We may have to cycle through a few different ones. Maybe we'll see if we can weave in like a Pedro picture or something, just to, you know, make this a little bit more, just a bit more kind of, you know, feng shui and kind of set in the right mood here, especially given, you know, a 97 win Red Sox season is basically going to start today. So I think that would be very appropriate. But Weekend Warriors says, put on a Lulu Iron Condor. Lulu, didn't they have earnings recently? Lulu. Could do a little Lulu, maybe. 390. And I think they had, let me look and see here. Lulu. Okay, so they just recently had earnings, I believe. Whoa, look at that. Wow. So that there is your earnings day, obviously. I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb, which makes that kind of easy to identify when they had earnings. But while the stock was at 480, 490, 500, basically, you know, earlier this year, and now it's down to 380, 390. That's pretty wild. Yeah, I'll do a little something, Lulu. I like that. Oh, the Ivy rank's only 9. Nah, I'm going to pass on this one. I'm trying to keep it buttoned up, man. I mean, I wore the interview shirt today because I do have some interviews lined up for later on this evening. And so fingers crossed, you know, that I get a second chance at Publix. And so, so I thought, let's keep things a little bit closer to the vest here for the second quarter of the show, but or second quarter of the year, I should say. But yeah, we're going to pass on Lulu, on the Iron Condor on Lulu. And so let's see here. Weekend Warrior goes on to say, oh, I'm looking at a 350, 360, and 420, 430 for the May monthly contract. Well, I'll take a look at that since you have it up there. If I do, let's see, 350, 360. And then 420, 430. 293, yeah. So, okay, so a couple of comments there, Weekend Warrior. So this would not be a trade that I personally would entertain. And there's a couple reasons why. So number one, well, first of all, let me give you the gimme. Let me give you the good news. So you're very, very wide, not only with your strikes, but in terms of it being $10 wide, but you're pretty far, you know, you're reasonably far outside the expected move here. So you can see, like, if I look at my, you know, you look at the edge of the expected move, it's like right there, and you're at the 360 strike, that's good. You've got the edge of the expected move right there. You're at the 420 strike, and that's good. So that's obviously good. Like, that's a big pro. That's a nice gimme. Like, you know, that's clearly working in your favor. The thing that I don't love, however, is the simple fact that you're just not collecting enough. And I'm only getting $2.86. And so, yes, it feels like this is very wide. It feels like you're going to have a lot of room. And it feels like, okay, I should be out of harm's way for most of this trade. Well, there's 50 days to go. That's a very long time. And, man, this thing can move. Like, not even earnings related, but just like normal day-to-day trading related. Lululemon can move $10, $15, $20, $25 in a day. No problem. And so you could easily find yourself testing on one side within a couple of days, within a week or so. And then you still got 40 plus days to go, you know, on the trade. And then you'll really kind of be in the lurch. And so I don't love the fact that we're only collecting $3 here. I'd like to be like, I'd like to see that closer to four, at least over 350. Just because remember, you have this relationship between your max loss and your max profit, which are right here. The more you're able to collect on the max profit front, the less you stand to lose on the max loss front. And so this is why I'm always very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm always very aware of what I'm collecting on an Iron Condor specifically, but really any defined risk strategy. My personal preference has always been to collect more on the front end because I know that my adjustment opportunities are going to be limited later on down the road, not like they are with undefined risk. And I still want to make sure I collect enough on undefined risk to justify the undefined risk, but it's just a different ballgame because I can always roll for extrinsic value. I can always add duration and improve my basis. Like, it's just a very, very different approach when it comes to, you know, that type of trade. But I would pass on this weekend warrior. I mean, I'm going to pass on this. I mean, you could do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to pass. And I think part of the reason why the credit is so low is because the IV rank is only 9. So the IV rank is only 9, you know, 8.9, whatever. And so it doesn't look like the greatest setup, in my opinion. So I'm going to pass on that guy. But man, I appreciate you, weekend warrior. I appreciate you very much. So let's see. Jocelyn the Yoji. What's the Coco ticker, man? I don't even know. Does somebody know? Did somebody answer us? What is the Coco ticker? Do we know what the Coco ticker is? I don't even know, but I feel like we need some Coco. I feel like we need some Coco exposure. Like, do we have a micro Coco contract that we could do? You know, maybe we could do a little something there. I don't know if I want to be trading, you know, 30,000 bushels of Coco. That might be a little bit much for what I'm trying to accomplish. But what is the Coco? Is it CZ? Oh, I think it's CZ. Nah, nothing is CZ. So obviously it's not CZ. But if somebody knows what the Coco ticker is, drop it in the chat box so we can all benefit from that. Because Coco, it's kind of got a little bit of Michael Saylor in it. It's kind of got a little bit of that, you know, NVIDIA free internet money type of vibe going on there in Coco. And so, yeah, let us know what that is. Weekend Warrior says the markets are wide, but premium is good. With Lulu. I agree, but when you get into like a four-legged strategy like that, it kind of waters it down pretty significantly. So it's not usually something that that I'm going to want to do in a trade like that with the IVR being low and the credit collected not necessarily being super high. So Ahmed Akbari, man, Ahmed, thank you for being here. It might be Omid. So my apologies if I botched that either time that I may have botched it. Can you explain how did you come up with this SPY trade? Ah, so thank you, Omid. So yeah, so the reason why I did the SPY trade that I did, so I'll go back to my positions tab. So it's actually pretty simple. So number one, looking at the portfolio, I was like, all right, I don't have very many positions on. I want to get some more market exposure. So that was obviously pretty simple. So then number two, I was like, I don't have any market index exposure at all. So I was like, well, let me get a little market index exposure, which that may be what I just said. But either way, I was like, well, let me look to one of the major indexes like SPY, like QQQ, like DIA, like IWM, like things like that. So I went to SPY first. So I was like, well, let me just do SPY first because it's kind of the big dog, the king of the hill, you know, all those things. So SPY, then I go into, you know, you look at the implied volatility rank of SPY. And it's like, man, that's pretty low. It's only 7.4. And so that's clearly on the lower end of the IV rank spectrum, essentially running from 0 to 100, where, you know, the higher the IV rank, the more advantageous it can be to sell premium. So to do things where you're selling options. So you're selling a vertical spread, you're selling a strangle, you're selling a straddle, you're selling an iron condor, you know, et cetera, down the road. When IV rank is low, I'm like, well, this makes a lot more sense to buy premium. This makes a lot more sense to do something where I'm buying, you know, a spread. So I'm buying a diagonal, I'm buying a vertical spread, I'm buying a calendar spread, something like that. And so that, so now I've got, you know, I didn't have many positions on, so I want something. I want market index exposure. So SPY was my ticket. I'm going to be doing something that is a debit strategy because volatility is low. So that just eliminated, you know, most of the short premium or all of the short premium strategies. It basically leaves me with, you know, long diagonal spread, long vertical spread, long calendar spread. I could, you could have gone with either of those or any of those, I guess, any of the three. I mean, any of them would have been perfectly fine. I don't have any diagonal spreads on in the portfolio. I haven't done one in a little while, it feels like. I like the fact that diagonal spreads give you multiple opportunities to, you know, be right on the trade, so to speak, as I explained as I was working through the SPY trade. Like, you know, if this works and the market drops, then I'm going to have a profitable trade. I take it off, I move on. It's going to be easy peasy. If it's not that easy peasy and the market goes up, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm, you know, showing a loss on the trade, that's not going to be the end of the story for me at all. Like, I'm going to have an opportunity to sell more premium against that back month long option. And so, you know, you might naturally be wondering, well, wait a minute, Jim, all right, that all sounds good, but why choose that over the other two that you referenced, a vertical spread or a calendar spread? Well, I'll give you a few things to think about, Omid, because this is a really good question. So number one, a diagonal spread is a combination of a vertical spread and a calendar spread. So you have some directional components by kind of having, you know, if I look at, you know, like the width of the spread right here, you see it's 527 to 519. So I have some characteristics, some components of a vertical spread baked into the strategy. So that's good. But also I have the time element of a calendar spread also baked into this strategy because I have a front month April, a back month May. I'm short the front month in April. I'm long the back month in May. So I've combined, you know, a vertical spread and a calendar spread together. That's essentially what produces a diagonal spread. So, okay. So why would you choose a diagonal spread over a vertical spread or a calendar spread? Well, it's if you want to just be purely directional, where you're like, hey, I feel really good about the direction. You know, the chart says X, the CEO says Y, you know, the tea leaves say Z, whatever your reason might be. You're like, hey, I want to be really directional. I feel really good. I want to get paid if I'm right. I don't want anything to be, you know, in the way. I don't want any obstacles. I don't want anything to slow down, you know, my pathway to victory if I get the direction correct. Well, in that instance, a vertical spread probably makes the most sense because you buy a vertical spread. If you're right directional, you make money. If you're wrong directional, you lose money. It's pretty simple. Okay. What if you're thinking, I don't really want to be directional at all. I kind of just want to play the time component. I kind of just want to play, you know, the volatility differential, like the Vega differential that we looked at between the back month and the front month. And I just want to just, you know, let time decay kind of do its thing. So I've got time decay working. I've got potential volatility expansion working for me. Well, that's when you would go to a calendar spread. Because with a calendar spread, I don't have one in the portfolio to show you, but you're stacking the strikes on top of each other. There's no width, there's no spread. So, you know, you essentially have, you know, you're short the 520 strike, you're long the 520 strike. Obviously front month and back month, so there's a difference there. But because the two strikes are shared, there's a ton of friction there. There's not a huge directional component either way. You still need the stock to stay around the strikes to be most profitable on the trade, but it's mostly going to be a time play. Okay. With the diagonal spread, I'm essentially able to tap into elements of both of those. So I have the directional component playing for me because I have the vertical spread, but I also have the time component playing for me because I have, you know, the different expiration cycles with the front month and the back month. And so that's what I wanted. I didn't want to put all my chips in the middle on direction. That would be a vertical spread. I didn't want to put all my chips in the middle on time or volatility. That would be a calendar spread. I kind of wanted to have a little bit of each. And so that's what essentially led me to a diagonal spread. So hopefully that helps, Omid. I really hope that was a fairly clear explanation for why I or why Amelia chose the strategy that she did. 4 years old, and she came up with that analysis. It's pretty impressive, I have to say. And so Finwest says, good morning, Dr. J. Have a great holiday weekend. Man, I appreciate you, Finwest. You're probably gallivanting around the globe, as you do. And so I appreciate you, my friend. Have a great holiday weekend and a great Easter weekend to you as well. And so David Gallimore is in the house. What's going on there, David? How are those two Delta SPX puts treating you these days? Welcome back, Dr. Jim. David's been cleaning it up, man. He's been absolutely cleaning up on that strategy. I just got to the show and missed your intro. Thanks for everything that you do for us. Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. And you didn't miss very much. The first 5 to 10 to 15 to 37 minutes were pretty clunky. And so now, you know, we're getting kind of back to mid-season form here. as the risk-free asset is back to almost unched here on the day. So we thought it was going to be down there for a second. But au contraire, mon frère, no way. So ES up 5, risk-free down 13, Boomers up 33, Russell up 10. And so there's your market update right there. But David, thank you for being here, my friend. I'm really glad that you are here. I'm so thankful that you're here. And I appreciate you so much, man. And so Anka's in the house. What's going on there, Anka? Anka says, man, he's back. I missed you too, Anka. I missed you very much. Anka says, I vote for crab trades as the next thing to look at. It's on my list. And I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to do crab trades. We're going to do Delta Busters. And we're going to do VVIX. And so I don't know that we're going to do them in that order. The first thing I want to do is next week. I'm excited. I do want to do a futures options trade. So that's probably going to happen on Monday. I've kind of got my eye on this MNQ strangle because, you know, the volatility in, I don't know what it looks like in QQQ. It's got to be about the same. Yeah, 14.9. I was looking at MNQ earlier and it was about the same. I was like, it should be the same, you know, with the futures and then also the futures and then the equity indexes. And so we're going to do a little something in MNQ on Monday. So don't miss the show on Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Central time. And yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to turn over a new leaf. And so let's see. L. Don Sly says Yankees have Houston today. Okay, so that's going to be an opening day loss. That's a tough draw. That's a pretty tough draw, I got to be honest. But thankfully for you all, there's a lot of games left in the season. And so let's see. Jocelyn the Yogi, Dr. Jim, can you look at Coco? If you guys let me know the symbol, I can maybe take a quick peek at it. Let's see. Is it 4CC? No, I don't think so. No, it's not CC. And so, yeah, somebody let me know what it is. I'd be happy to take a look at it. And I still have one more trade that we can do if we have time to get to that. And so let's see. Coco up 135% first quarter. And so how do you even trade that, Anka says, other than going to my next Aldi and buying it? Yes, that's correct. And so I don't know how you trade Coco. Which again, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to be trading Coco here on the show. I have no idea. You know, futures is an interesting thing. Like when you do the financial futures, like E-mini S&Ps, like, you know, NASDAQ and Dow and Russell and stuff like that, it's not that bad. It's fairly straightforward, honestly. It's fairly simple. Once you understand the notional of the contract, you understand the tick sizes, and you kind of get that all squared away in your mind, the rest of it just kind of flows. The rest of it just kind of falls together, similar to how you would do with, you know, equity options and things like that. But when you start getting into like, you know, like wheat and like, you know, soybeans and like cocoa, and you're getting into like cheapest to deliver, and you're getting into like, you know, different specs and all these things. And, you know, you're getting into the fact that you've got to get like, you know, letters of recommendation from Pete Malmat to like trade certain products. It's like, this gets a little hairy pretty quickly. And so I don't know that I'm going to be trading too much cocoa anytime in the near future, but you never know. And so, so let's see. To Rob H, this trading day is as exciting as a baseball game. Easy now, Rob. Easy now. Rob H says, I love the new studio. I believe it was designed by Satan. Yeah, it kind of has that feel to it. So I'm probably going to get rid of this. Again, the red's a little in your face, man. Like the Scoville units on this background, you know, they're in the tens of thousands. There's no doubt about that. We're not dealing with Frank's hot sauce here. Like we're dealing with some ghost pepper stuff in that background. So yeah, I'm going to definitely change this because I'm not really going for like a Satan type of vibe. And so, so T-Port says it's a shoe trade kind of day until the end of the day move in the next 30 minutes, which is what we had yesterday, right? Like something crazy happened yesterday in the market. I think that was yesterday. It was either yesterday or Tuesday. Let me go into ES here really quick. Let's just pull open the chart. Let me grab, let me just look at like a 30 minute. We can just do like 3 days. I think it was like the end of the day. Yeah. So, wow. I mean, even right now, I mean, look at that. You got ES opened at 10 and okay. So that's nothing super crazy. No, the other, yeah, here it is right here. Look at that. Look at that 30 minute candle yesterday, right before the close. You open at 80, it was at 86 and then you close at 10. So in 30 minutes, you go 25 handles on ES. That's pretty impressive, man. And that's the day, that's the penultimate day before the end of the day. Like that's not even the end of the quarter. That's the penultimate end of the quarter. And so it's like, man, that's pretty impressive. And now you got a nice little cup with a handle, obviously. And so, boom, we just buy them. We sell them up there. and it's easy peasy. And so, so let's see. So Crusader Traders in the house. Baseball is a good analogy. I'd say watching a fishing tournament is more boring. Man, if y'all are watching fishing tournaments, come on, guys. Like that. if you're going to throw baseball under the bus and you're watching fishing tournaments, which is not what you're saying there, Crusader Trader. You're not saying that at all, but I didn't even know fishing tournaments were a thing to be watched. I knew that they were a thing to be done. I didn't know that they were a thing to be spectated upon. But let's see here. So it looks like there's a few more questions, but hold on. Let me get into, so what I want to do, I've got one more trade. I want to do a little Reddit action because, you know, obviously I saw that Reddit, you know, IPO, I mean, you got all kinds of crazy stuff happening. You got Reddit, you got a little Donald Trump, a little DJT action. You know, he's got his own stock now or whatever. I guess DWAC is now DJT. And so there's all kinds of stuff going on, which is just really some crazy stuff. And so I thought, let's get into some Reddit action. And I think we go in here. I mean, the Ivy rank, I've not seen this before, guys. I got to be honest. The Ivy rank is negative 140. And so that's pretty low. Like, you know, again, I'm no Jacob Perlman, but that looks like a pretty low implied volatility rank. So I think what we're going to do here, just to get something going, just to get a little, you know, just a little fish in the fryer here, I think we buy a 50 and we sell a 55 call spread. So I think we just play it at the money. We play Reddit to the upside, obviously. Again, just using commonsensical analysis here. And just a long call vertical spread. We're just kind of easing back into things here on the first day back from vacation. And yeah, I think that this will be fun. This will be an interesting way to be kind of plugged in to the goings on of the, you know, current modern marketplace with RDDT, now a publicly traded stock. So I think we go in here, we buy this guy, looks like for, you know, $1.90 or whatever, $1.70. And then we can just be done with it. So let's do, we'll do like $1.70. And we'll do like $1.80. Probably get improved on that. Yeah, $1.78. So there you go. So there's your market. There's your equilibrium price. All right, so we did Reddit too. So that's great. We got through all the trades I wanted to. So now let me get to y'all's questions. To finish up the show, looks like we've got a few more that came in. And so, where are we at? Where are we at? There we go. Wanderos digging it. Dave M, Tom and TP said there is no way to trade it. Coco. Well, don't you ever forget that. And we talked about this on the last skinny. I brought block cheese to Tom's world, which is BJJ, I believe. And so I don't know that you can trade this, but yeah. Okay. So no BJJ, but this does exist. So cocoa, maybe, you know, there may be, you know, the cocoa pit, maybe right next to the block cheese pit. Maybe that's what's going on here. And so you can trade cheese. You can trade it for like 45 minutes, like 4 days a week. You've got like a 45 minute window between like 5 and 6 or 5 and 5:45 where you can trade, you know, some block cheese. And so for those of you guys that are looking for something to diversify your exposure, might I suggest some short straddles in block cheese? And so, so maybe cocoa is the same, but let's see. Diesel said for us, CC. Yeah, I tried that. It didn't work. It may be something you can't trade. Love that blob says, if you can drink it, don't trade it. For example, Coca. Maybe love that blob meant cocoa there. So Dinesh Kumar, what's going on, Dinesh? Oh, Reddit IPO price, 34. What's going on, Dinesh? It's trading around 50. $30 put for May 17 expired is going for $95, around 3% for 50 days. Yes. So if you go back into Reddit, so you go into May, and what was the strike? You were looking at the $30 put? Yeah, you're correct, about 90 cents. So you're right. I mean, that's a great return. You know, you're looking at about a 2% return, it looks like. I mean, you're selling it based on the current price, not the IPO price, of course. And so I'm selling a 30 put for 90 cents on a $50 stock. So a dollar would be a 2% return. So a little bit under 2% in terms of the return. But again, that's only for 50 days. The problem here, and kind of the fly in the ointment, is of course going to be this buying power effect that you see right here. $2,900. I mean, that's significant. And that makes sense because, you know, this is a very new stock. I mean, the risk is very high. We got to kind of get give it a chance to get its bearing set before, you know, the margins will likely compress and come down on these positions. But it makes sense to kind of widen the margins as, you know, people are getting a feel for what types of risk are in like a Reddit or DJT or whatever. And so, you know, selling the 30 put, I mean, it's fine. But again, from a capital efficiency standpoint, I don't love it. that's kind of why I just wanted to buy a call spread to play this thing to the upside, where, you know, I feel like you still have a good amount of profit potential with the call spread, of course. I don't have quite the buffer that you would have on selling this 30 put, of course, but it still seems like a reasonable way to play the market to the upside. And so, wow, look at the risk-free, down 25, sold off like 30 in the last, 2 minutes? Wow, and so maybe they're picking up steam here heading into the end of the day. And so, so we'll have to wait and see. But, Dinesh, thank you for being here. I hope that helps a little bit. I think the 30 put would be fine. Just be aware of the margin being significant. And so let's see. T-Port, there she goes. A rebalance time kept moving 15 minutes earlier in the day each day this week. You got the rebalance. You've got the end of the quarter rebalance. And then you've got all the window dressing. You've got all the portfolio managers looking to goose up, you know, their returns and looking to goose up, you know, the statements to their clients. And so, I mean, what does all that mean? I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody else knows either. I mean, obviously at 4 o'clock, everyone's going to say, well, that happened because of X, Y, Z. The tricky part is it could be X, it could be Y, it could be Z. We won't know until 4. We don't know now, and we won't know in 15 minutes, but we'll know, you know, clear as day at 4 o'clock. Like, we'll know as soon as the market's closed what the driver was. And so that's the tricky thing about prognostications. They aren't typically that helpful before the fact or in the moment. But after the fact, they're incredibly, incredibly spot on. And so RC says, Dr. Jim is back on a synthetic Friday. Man, I appreciate you, RC. Thank you for being here. Yes, I am back on a synthetic Friday. It was an odd day to come back, I know, because now we're off, you know, tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. So essentially all the momentum that I've reestablished here today is going to be gone. We're going to have to reclaim this on Monday. But thank you for being here, RC. RC goes on to say, Jim, my question, which I've waited weeks to ask you, man, I appreciate you, is did you make sure to hit leg day over the vacation? Man, I appreciate you very much. That's a very important question. And the answer is no, I did not. And the reason why I didn't, I think I have a good reason. So before you hate on me, I think I have a relatively valid, legitimate reason why I didn't do that. So I knew this vacation was coming up, you know, weeks ago, like months ago, actually. And so I actually structured my training such that last week while we were in Charlotte, it was a very light week for me. I just got in the gym a couple times just to kind of keep the old man joints kind of loose. But I didn't do a whole lot because I really wanted to have plenty of time to be with Autumn and be with my kids and be with my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and just have a lot of fun. And so, you know, knowing that it was coming gave me the advantage of kind of structuring my training around that. And so that way I could just take it easy while we were there. And now that we're back kind of into normal day-to-day operations, we're going to ramp it back up. And so I did not, RC, but again, hopefully you will accept my excuse. So Michael Bush says, I don't think Coco has CME futures. I think it's just ICE futures. And then Michael goes on to say, softs are only for the special traders. Yes, like block G's. And so I think you are correct there, Michael. I don't know that we are going to be able to trade it. I think Tom might be right on that one. And so let's see. Victoria says the ticker symbol is CC. Yeah, but I don't think, is it just CC? No, the Chemours. Well, CC is just the Chemours. You know, /CC is nothing. And then somebody else says CC1? Nope, it's not CC1 either. And so CJ1? I mean, at this point, we're just grasping at straws. And so, yeah, I think it's right there with the block cheese guys. And so I don't think we're going to be able to trade it. And so, so let's see. Rob H, baseball starts in 5 minutes. Be sure and bet all the moneyline dogs. Boston and Tampa are both dogs today, for your information. And so, yes, well, Boston should be a dog all year. That's why they're only going to win 97 games. And so that totally makes sense to me. And so I think I heard something though back in the day that the moneyline underdogs are usually the better bet in the baseball world. And so Rob H might be onto something there. And so Sean Y says, just wow, weekend warrior, do you take wash sale into account in your trading strategy or do you trade around it? I don't really take it into account in my trading strategy. No, I don't. You know, the tax implications, I probably should pay closer attention to this. Honestly, it's probably an area that I could grow in and probably an area that I could, get better in because I think it could have a meaningful impact at the end of the year. In fact, this is not the direct answer to your question is no, I really don't. I probably should do that, but I'll give you kind of a tertiary, statement related to this. For those of you out there that are in IRAs, you know, you could have a margin account, you could have an IRA account, you know, whatever. Man, remember, in your IRAs, like I know that the margins are tricky and I know that it's a little finicky to work with, but man, don't forget, like that's all tax exempt. That's all shielded from taxes. And so, you know, depending on what your marginal tax rate might be, like that can be a really significant amount of money, 20%, 25%, 28%, whatever it is. It's like, man, I mean, are you really that good that you can outperform, you know, the tax advantages that you already get from the jump with an IRA? I know I'm not, right? And I know for sure Tom isn't. And so are you? Maybe. It's possible, right? But I mean, that's something to think about, man. So for those of you that have a choice between trading in a margin account versus IRA, I would always choose an IRA, I think, just because the tax advantages are pretty significant. And so there's a related comment to your question there that was from Weekend Warrior, but hopefully that helps a little bit. And so let's see. And then we're almost out of time, but we've got a couple more. Let's see. Dalton Larson's in the house. Charles Lurie's in the house. HSY is a proxy. Yeah, Hershey is a proxy for cocoa, possibly. But then we got to figure out, like, what other rigmarole are they? Are they, you know, what else is part of the Hershey pot? Like, is it just chocolate or is there, like, some other stuff going on? Like, Errol, like, said to me yesterday on today's assignment, like, McDonald's, like, a lot of their portfolio is real estate. Like, it's not the cardboard that they're putting in their sandwiches. Like, that's what I want to be investing in, that cardboard. I don't want to be investing in real estate. I don't want to be investing in McDonald's ability or inability to flip condos, you know, on the St. Pete Beach. Like, I want to know, like, all right, how low can we drive these costs down on that cardboard? Like, we're doing 3-ply. Can we get it to 2-ply? Can we get it to 1-ply? Like, this is what I want to know as a shareholder. And so with Hershey, it's like, it seems like a cocoa play, but is it? Like, I want to make sure that I know what I'm signing up for. And so, anyway. So it looks like we're just about out of time, but I see InvestWise is in the house. I see Lone Sofos in the house. I appreciate you. Martin Starry in the house. CCK4. Here, let me try this. This is the last one I'm going to try. CCK4, nothing. And so you guys all might be right, but it just might not be inside of Tasty Trade. So guys, I'm out of time. We made it through an hour and 15 on the first day back. That's incredible. I appreciate you guys so much for being here. It really means the world to me. And it's just really, really awesome. It feels so good to be back. And so I really hope you guys have, you know, a great holiday weekend, and I'll be back on Monday. But don't forget, guys, you guys can always email me. I'm jschultz@tastylive.com. I'm getting caught up on all my emails from vacation, so I might be a day or two behind what I normally would be. But please reach out if I can help in any way. It's my pleasure to do so. If you guys want to connect on Twitter, X, whatever they call it, I'm @jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys on there as well. But stay tuned. We do have, I think, Tim Knight coming up next with trading charts. In the meantime, guys, trade them small. Train them heavy and stay generous. We'll see you guys on Monday.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered